know if you've noticed, but especially in Christianity, there are words that we use sometimes almost flippantly. We don't really grasp the true meaning behind a word. And it just sort of, I don't know, just sort of fades into a surfacey kind of terminology. This morning I'm going to talk to you about values. Now, values oftentimes are expressed, but many times aren't lived out. So we express that we value something in life, but oftentimes our actions don't follow those values. The definition for values that we're going to use this morning is a person's principles or standards of behavior, one's judgment of what is important in life. That doesn't sound very surfacey, does it? A value is that which we base existence on. It drives our activity, our actions, our behaviors. Now, for instance, if you value friendship, if you say you value friendship, then you will spend time cultivating friendships. You will place an emphasis on time spent on friendships. If you value honesty, and if that is a value, then really, it's going to cost you something. Your activity, your actions will cost you if you value honesty. Now, if you think about it in the business, what do they usually do in a business when they declare or proclaim values or mission or purpose? They usually put it on pens and they put it on mugs and they put posters up. And what are they hoping for? What is the leadership of those organizations hoping? That if they put out the values and state them over and over again and publicize them and make sure that people see them, they're hoping that the declaration of those values will change behavior, right? So if you work for a company that values, let's say they value ethics. They're hoping that if they state that many times and in many arenas, that their business will become ethical. But what they find oftentimes is it is hard, a daunting task, to drive behavior or even to change a culture by just merely stating those things. Am I right? Are you with me? Our values then give understanding to what we find as success or how we find effectiveness. So, if we are stating values and we're living those values out, then that will determine the metrics by which we measure our effectiveness. In a business setting, if there is a value of ethics, then a measurement of such would be, are we having complaints about mismanagement? Are we having complaints about unethical business practices? Are we having complaints about fraud? Those values will determine the metrics by which we measure effectiveness. What values are placed in a business often revolve around profitability, right? They may say a bunch of values and state them here, but really what the business is living out, the behavior of such, is a focus on profitability. Customer satisfaction, market share, publicity, branding, all those things wrap around the value by which businesses operate. And that's profitability. Sometimes to the expense of all other values, including ethics and business practices. And so really, and I'm not throwing stones, I mean, Obviously, there are many businesses that run very ethically and hold the value of the people that work for them at a high value. But oftentimes, the activity of the business declare that their number one value is profitability. Now, unfortunately, the church has sort of been caught up in that. Around the world, the church has been caught up in that to say, we must be profitable. We must have our own branding. We must have market share. We must be competitive in our industry. All these things then wrap around, usually in many cases, all around the world, are integral into a value system placed by a church. Now, this is not what God has declared to be the value system of His church. And so if the value system of the church is different, then the measurements or the metrics of such church, of Christ's church, will be different. God places a high value on His church. She is His bride. She has been bought with a price. The church being those who are in relationship with Christ, who commune with Him. He places high value on the relationship. That was His intent from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28. And God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and over the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground. God said, I want to make man in my own image. God, the triune God, Elohim, Father, Son, and Spirit, created mankind tenderly in a way that is precious. God, the gentle Father, the Spirit moving, Jesus being there pre-creation, being the eternal God. Out of that relationship, out of that delight that was in the Trinity, out of that love, out of that submission, He created man. That He would express that kind of love. That there would be birthed out of that relationship, a relationship with His creation. Us. Much different than any of the animals. Much different than any of the plant life. We were created in His image. And He placed a high value on that relationship. But then He said, represent. Represent me. Subdue the earth. You are the expression of God on the earth. But without the value of the relationship, representation of God is impossible. You hear what I just said? He gave us this representation, a role of representation. Without the relationship, it's impossible. We cannot represent God without being connected to God. Think about that business model. The business is wanting just to state value and dictate the behavior of the company. Even change the culture, move the culture along those same values. It's a daunting task. I'm sure for a business owner, for a leadership group of a business, they understand you just can't declare a value, and it dictate behavior. Yet in our relationship with God, it is irreplaceable. Our values are centered around the relationship with God. and therefore we represent him. And he determines, dictates, sanctifies, refines, and develops our behavior out of that relationship. That's a beautiful thing. This is God's desire for his church. Birthed out of the Trinity. Mankind for relationship and representation. Jesus comes, gives himself, restores us back to the original intent of relationship and representation. We have that communing, that opportunity just to be in relationship with God. Blows my mind. We have opportunity to commune and have fellowship with the living God. And out of that relationship, then, we represent him and the world as the church. That's how we have come to understand values here. In this place, in this local body, our desire is it just not be something that is stated on a coffee mug or on a pen or on any kind of publicity or even in a bulletin or on a wall, that we, out of our relationship with Christ, would birth values that determine and refocus us, that changes and transforms behavior. And so this morning, we do this about every year, but over the next, I don't know, however many weeks, we're going to talk about values. I'm going to talk about two different sets of values. Now, this has caused confusion, I know, so let me see if I can explain it. And if you have a question, maybe you can see one of us after the service. We have two sets of values. The first set of values are just that. We got together as a leadership years ago and said, Jesus, what do you want us to establish what you're going to do here? What are the rails? What are the non-negotiables that is going to define not only the activity, but how we exist here at ACC? And we came up with five. And you know what? I am still not used to my bifocals. So I'm not stretching my neck, although I probably need to. Trying to figure out how I can read. So the first one is making disciples who make disciples. Staple. Non-negotiable. The pursuit of the Spirit-filled life for every believer. We have God himself indwelling us. The Holy Spirit. And he determines, dictates, guides, governs the life of the believer. Number three, Scripture is just not going to be warehoused. Scripture is just not going to be something that we do to memorize so in times of trouble we can pull out this verse. Although that is very helpful. Scripture is God's word by his Spirit, transforms our thinking, captivates our attention, captivates our souls. This is a lifestyle of worship, not just music. In fact, music is such a small part of a lifestyle of worship. And then finally, unity is going to be the staple, the center, the beginning point of any kind of activity. God is not a confusing God. He's not a dissenting God. As Jesus Christ is the head of the church, as we submit to him, he'll bring order, he'll restore things, but he brings unity. What did he pray? That they may be one, as we are one. Jesus was talking to the Father, said that they may be one as we are one. Now, these are non-negotiables. And they're not, this is not an exhaustive list for the church. This is values that we hold dear here. Now, there's another list that you probably see and hear me talk about, and others talk about. It's called qualitative values. What do I mean by that? Well, if we've established values and we're in line with Christ, how do we know our effectiveness? I don't use this word anymore because it has such bad connotations. How do we know we're successful in establishing what Christ has by his Spirit established in us and in the world. These are qualitative values. First is intimacy with God. If you're not communing and connecting with God, I'm sorry. There's no hope to know his mind and his heart. If we have not released ourselves in submission to him and spend time, this is a value. So that means it sort of drives or dictates or determines our focus, our energies. I'll tell you what, if our energies are focused on communing with God, we will be a changed people. He does not leave anything undone. Anything that is released to him, open hands to him, he transforms. He is effective. We don't have to worry about his faithfulness. Intimacy with Christ is absolutely critical. Second, there's a grace testimony. That we would have a grace testimony in our engagement with God. If he's transforming us, Deb, if he touches us, there's a proclamation of his grace. Right? I was with a group last night, and they said that that her husband, a lady there says her husband spilled something on his shirt. And she used this, I can't remember what it was. Anyway, this, whatever it was, took the stain right out. She said, I wanted to proclaim that to the world. I wanted to get on Facebook. I wanted to tell people how this product has changed my life as far as cleaning. And then Jesus said to her, what about me? What about me? The proclamation of an encounter with God and his grace. Fruit of the Spirit, that almost involuntary way that we react and we respond by God's Spirit, God's love. So our responses should be of love. The gifts of the Spirit, that piece of that God gives, that we act and move and are gifted, that is in ways supernatural. Generosity. Lance talked about this last week. Generosity. It just flows because God's generous. It just, we're conduit. You know what I mean? We're just that empty tube that God flourishes the world with his gifts and his grace. It flows through a people that is generous. And finally, take an being intentional with the relationships that God has given us. That we would express all those things, the grace testimony, our intimacy with Christ, the fruit, the giftings, generosity, that would find a place in our relationships. That we would take ownership of that. We'd be intentional with that. It has a place in the world that God would draw men and women and boys and girls to himself, and he uses us. Our times of intimacy. He uses our grace testimony. He uses our gifting. He uses the fruit. He uses our generosity in order to see boys and girls and men and women brought to himself. We have to be intentional in that. Now, those are measurements. If we are indeed in tune, aligned with Christ's heart for his church, then we're going to have people demonstrating those things. Those are going to be the metrics. Those are the measurements. If it's not about market share, if it's not about a competitive balance, if it's not about customer satisfaction, it's not about branding, it's not about profitability, if it's not about any of those things, what is it about? It's about that. That's how we measure. Are more people bad? No. Is being wise with our money? No. Bad? No. Being known in the community, is that bad? No. But our measure falls in line with those qualitative values. That was all precursor. That was just the opening remarks. We've got a couple more hours. I want to highlight intimacy. I'm going to highlight intimacy in a couple different ways. One, getting back to our our original values, values number one. We talked about transformation by the Word of God. We talked about transformation by His Spirit. You hear churches, and I don't know, maybe this is not, this is maybe just in the circles that I run into. But if you look at many churches, some say, well, they're more led by the Spirit. They're more charismatic. Then you see some, well, they're very scripturally based. They're very, very sound in the Bible. That's all well and good. But they're not mutually exclusive, as we like to sometimes do. We sort of like to separate those two, the person of the Holy Spirit and the proclamation of His Word. Those two, and I don't want to impersonalize the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit and the expression of His Word is vital for intimacy with God. It finds its place in our relationship with Him. One, we don't, have you ever tried to read a manual that you have no idea, about every manual I read is out there. Maybe not for Matt, but for me, every manual I read is pretty much, it doesn't matter if I'm reading the German or the Spanish or the English. It's all the same to me. Reading Scripture without the influence of the Holy Spirit is fruitless. There's no expression of love in that. There's only a rule book, a standard by which we are to live. If we are swayed to the Word without the engagement of the Holy Spirit, we're lost. If we're swayed to the Spirit without the foundation of the Word, we become our own Holy Spirit. We move out of relationship with God by His Spirit, and we are prone to fall into an emotional tizzy sometimes. It is foundational for the Spirit to be engaged with us in our lives, that He would interpret the Word, that we would grow in intimacy with Him. Ephesians chapter 5, I think, verses 15 through 18. Now Paul's pretty explicit in his letters. But he says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. These, it sort of sounds like he's talking about establishing some values in your life, right? Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. All those things sort of can lead us away from the relationship. And the days are evil. The days are evil. And they're getting more so. And so what does Paul say? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Earlier in Ephesians, he talks about the sealing of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us at conversion, when we relinquish our lives to Him, the Holy Spirit comes and He seals, meaning He comes and He dwells. But He does not force our will. He does not come in and say, all right, I'm taking over. The desire of the Holy Spirit is that we would relinquish the different rooms and different compartments and areas of our lives to Him. And in that way, He can fill those areas by His presence, by Himself, that He would fill to overflowing, that coming out of us would not be characteristics of man, but characteristics of the living God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything that will alter your personality. Don't do anything that would alter the things that you value, yet be filled with the Holy Spirit, that He would direct, that He would establish value. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Paul talks to Timothy because he's on all accounts his son. Definitely his son in the Lord. So he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Talk about a value. Scripture that is useful for correcting, rebuking, training, developing by God's power, by His Spirit, that you would be equipped for every good work. That the activity, the behavior coming out of you has been shaped by God's Spirit and the Word. You've been trained. You've been corrected, realigned, sometimes recalibrated, sometimes rebooted, to the point where you're expressing the values that God has established for His church. The Word transforms. God's Word by His Spirit transforms. Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet He did not sin. We do not have a CEO who sits atop the ivory tower and establishes values and says, now live up to these values. We have a high priest. We have one who has walked as we have walked. He has identified Himself with us. Lowly He came. Humbly He came. He put Himself in our flesh. The Creator became a part of what He created, that He would fill, that He would indwell, that He would establish, and that He would live the values out by which we have existence and relationship with people. That people would see Jesus and not us. Intimacy with God has got to come by His Spirit and has got to come by His Word. And it must be established. It must establish the value system by which we not only believe, but have our being, that would dictate our behavior, that we would align ourselves with God, which is absolutely an amazing thought, that He, as magnificent, glorious as He is, did what He did. He came as one identified with us. We don't serve a high priest that sits on His platform. But we have the opportunity to live out the value system, that it would shape our belief system, that it would shape our behavior. We have the opportunity to do that because of who Jesus is and what He has done. And so when we talk about values here, we're talking about the very things that we live, that we have our being in. Not only even the behavior, but that we have our being. The non-negotiables. This is where it stops. Other places can do other things. And other places are doing great things by God's power. These are the values that we rest on. And I pray that that is seen in our community, that is seen in the workplaces. And they may not be able to describe it, but we know what they're seeing is the characteristics of Christ because he's established those values in us based out of an intimacy, based out of communing with him. Let's pray. God, you are a magnificent God. I stated that you don't sit on your platform and dictate, but yet you are high and lifted up. You are the King of kings, Lord of lords. You are the great I am. You are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the bright morning star. Jesus, you are everything. You are established. You are high and lifted up. You are enthroned. You sit at the right hand of the Father. And yet, you interact with us. You intercede for us. You pray for us. You engage the Father in conversation about us. May that be the establishment of any value that we have. That people would be marked here because they spend time with you. That through your word and through your spirit, you develop a longing in us for you. That intimacy would be not just a word that is a hot topic now, but it would be seen out of an encounter and experience with the living God through your word, through your spirit, knowing that you want to commune with us. You want to communicate with us. Father, you did the ultimate. You sent your Son in order to communicate with us. May we be measured. May there be a metric or an understanding of our effectiveness, because the world sees something that has transformed us into something that they've not seen. We don't react or respond or do the things that we would if we were pursuing ourselves, gratifying our nature. I thank you, you've given us the Spirit. He is truly a gift. May we live out of that value, a value of longing for you and being with you. Jesus, we love to pray in your name. We love to say your name. It is the name above all names. There is no other name by which we must be saved. We pray in your name. We sing your name. We say your name. We state your name. For your name represents the relationship that we have with you. We love you, and it's your name we pray. Amen.